Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Tet, Chapter 19. But first we must recap Perek Yud Chet, Chapter 18. Chapter 18 opens with a newfound friendship between Yonatan and David. They make a covenant between them. Yonatan is drawn to David. How many times can you meet someone on your level if you are really a great person? He sees David as a kindred spirit. And usually these kind of friends are rivals. But they really are devoted to this friendship throughout their lives. David is so successful in everything he does that the women come out to dance and sing that Shaul killed thousands, but David slays tens of thousands. And Shaul is very hurt by this. And the next day when David plays for Shaul, remember, David was brought to play for Shaul when he has a ruach ra'ah, when he feels low and he is missing the inspiration of Hashem, Shaul attempts to kill David and David escapes. But Shaul realizes that David's presence enrages him, so he makes him a captain of 1,000 soldiers like his son Yonatan. As a result of this public success, Bnei Israel loved David. And Shaul was very upset by this. But Shaul promised the one who slays Goliath is going to marry his daughter. But as Shaul was about to marry off his eldest daughter Merav to David, as promised, Merav was already in the midst of her betrothal to Adriel HaMecholati, so that union was not possible. However, Shaul's younger daughter, Michal, loved David, and it was suggested to David to marry her. But he needs to have a dowry. David is not wealthy enough to marry into the king's family. What could he do? So David suggests the dowry will be the foreskins of 100 plishtim. And what does the dowry of 100 foreskins have to do with marriage? Bring money, bring sheep. Shaul was thinking that David would die in battle with 100 plishtim. But instead of bringing 100 foreskins, David brings 200, and Shaul's plan is foiled. Because Shaul thought, oh, if he dies in battle, oh, I'll get rid of David, who's my rival. Shaul is entering a dark place. David is becoming the new hero of Bnei Israel. Originally, it was Shaul, he was the king, or Yonatan, his son. But everyone loves David. We see that word repeated over and over. Yonatan loves David. Shaul originally loved David. Michal loves David. Bnei Israel loved David. Now, Shaul sees his two children love David. He feels alone and cornered. And soon he will begin to hunt David and try to kill him to salvage his own kingship. He is even willing to destroy his own family in the process. So David, the new hero of Bnei Israel, is really destroying Shaul's life, destroying his equilibrium. In our chapter, in our perek, we will see how Shaul goes about trying to assassinate David. It's so sad. Shaul speaks to his son Yonatan and his servants about his plans to assassinate David. But Yonatan will have none of that, right? He's loyal to David. He plans to interrogate his father in a field where David is hiding to see how serious his father is about this plan. And he wants to dissuade Shaul from trying to assassinate David. Yonatan speaks highly of David to his father, and his father swears to him that he won't kill David. Constantly, Yonatan is defending David before Shaul. And in the beginning, Yonatan is successful for the moment that Shaul will say, okay, I won't kill him. But we see, boom, in the next chapter, Shaul attempts to kill David again. He's so focused on David as a person who's going to take over his kingship. In all of Sefer Shmuel, as we mentioned earlier, the use of family assignations and epithets is used extensively. Mother, father, son, daughter, brother, sister. Even though we know the relationships for the previous mentions and the context. However, this is used to highlight the family relationships and the tensions involved. Family loyalty is on the line. And in this perek, in this chapter, these assignations are used very effectively. In verse 1, Shaul speaks to Yonatan, Beno, his son. Verse 2, Shaul, Avi, my father, Shaul. Verse 3, Avi, my father, is used twice. Verse 4, Shaul, Aviv, his father. The Navi is highlighting the tension that is really so palpable here between all these different family members. And you have to understand, now David is Shaul's son-in-law, Yonatan's brother-in-law, Michal's husband. Even after David is a successful warrior, he continues to play for Shaul. David is a warrior and a Tehillim writer. And in Tehillim, chapter 59, mentions this event, where Esav and Yaakov, we see these two sides battling. A man of the sword and a man of the word, a man of music. David even sings and writes poetry about the dangers that he is in, even when he's playing for Shaul, who tries to kill him at that moment. Right now, when David is playing for Shaul, Shaul attempts to kill him with a spear yet again and again. And David escapes to his home, to Michal. But Shaul is going to hunt David even to his house. And Shaul sends messengers to David's house with Michal. And then Michal says to David, "Vatagid le David Michal ishto." When Shaul sends messengers to David and Michal's home to keep watch on him, to kill him, it's David's wife, Michal. See how she's mentioned? As David's wife, not as Shaul's daughter here. You have to run away and save yourself. And she lowers him out of the window and David escapes. And David takes trafim. She takes household idols that a lot of the Mefarshim say were images that the women had of their husbands when they went to war, so they would have like a picture of them. She puts it in the bed and she puts a net of goat's hair to make it look like a person. And when Shaul sends the messengers, she says, "Oh, he's sick, you can't come." And so finally they say, "We have to go up to his bed." And they see that it's not David in bed, but it is the trafim. And Shaul is so upset at Michal. And he says, "Lama kacha rimitani? Why did you trick me like this?" Right? We have vibes of Lavan and Rachel. Where are your loyalties? To your father or to your husband? And it also says, "Vayomer yomer Shaul el Michal." It doesn't say, "Vayomer Shaul el Michal bito," because she's not acting as his daughter here. But she says, "He forced me." Right? "He said, send me. Why should I kill you?" And she's also worried. She can't tell Shaul that she did this out of her free choice. She has to say that David threatened me. And David escapes and he comes to Shmuel, to the Ramah. And he finds him in Nayot. Here, we speak about the wife of David, not the daughter of Shaul, to emphasize her loyalty to David. She's the one who told him he is surrounded. She's the one who told David to escape. Her loyalty is definitely to David here. But when Shaul asks her, she says, "He forced me," because she doesn't want to confront her father in a way that really makes him feel that he is alone and that her loyalty is to David. So these are very strong emotions and very strong family complications. In Shmuel Bet, another image of Michal at the window is presented. When David is dancing with Bnei Israel, when they bring the Aron Brit Hashem to Yerushalayim, Michal is mentioned as Bat Shaul. There she's the daughter of Shaul, because there her loyalty is clearly with her father and her family. She scorns David for dancing with the riffraff of Bnei Israel and not behaving like a king. She implies, "We of the royal family do not behave in this manner. It is not honorable, and it's not kingly protocol." And David responds to her, "That's why Hashem chose me and not your father to continue to be the king of Am Yisrael. So we see that the use of epithets and assignations, father, daughter, sister, brother, are very important in Tanakh, and especially in Sefer Shmuel. Let's get back to our perek. David escapes to Shmuel and Nayot, and Rashi explains to his Beit Ulpana, to his Beit Midrash, to his yeshiva. Whereas Shmuel and Shaul are involved constantly, and Shmuel advises Shaul almost every step of the way, this is the first encounter between David and Shmuel. A very different relationship between David and Shmuel and Shaul and Shmuel. When Shaul hears that David is with Shmuel, he sends messengers to capture David, but each group receives prophecy and cannot complete the job. Finally, Shaul goes himself, but is also stymied. He receives nevuah and he takes off his kingly garments to receive the divine presence. According to Rashi and Malbim, he takes off his kingly garments. And again, everyone wonders, like they did in his initial journey, Hagam Shaul b'Nevi'im? Is Shaul also a prophet? Because they don't see Shaul in that way. But David is constantly speaking with God's name on his lips and representing Hashem. Shaul is behaving in an unusual way because he is so consumed with destroying David, he is neglecting his job as king and is too focused on David. Meanwhile, David is gaining a reputation as the great hero of Bnei Israel. But now David has to escape to Shmuel. Maybe he felt he needed Shmuel's encouragement and support. And for the next chapter, David is going to be on the run from Shaul. And the next chapter is the famous Rosh Chodesh meal. So this is really a huge turning point for David. He has to run away from his home. Michal tells him to escape. And we'll see that he has to really leave the security. And that will also affect David. So let's recap. Shaul tries to assassinate David, and he conspires with his son Yonatan and his servants about these plans. But Yonatan will have none of that. He tries to dissuade his father, and his father says, okay, of course, I'm not going to try to kill David. And as we said in this perek, the use of family assignations and epithets really helps us understand the tone and the tensions of the different loyalties that are going on between Yonatan, David, Michal, Shaul. After another success in battle, David comes home and he plays for Shaul. It's important for us to see that even after David is a successful warrior, he continues to play for Shaul. He always has the warrior and Tehillim aspects to himself. The Esav and Yaakov, the sword and the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he's playing for Shaul, Shaul attempts to kill him with his spear yet again and again. And David escapes home to Michal. And here it's Michal, the wife of David, not the daughter of Shaul, who tells David, you have to run. She saves his life and she makes sure he escapes through the window. And when Shaul interrogates her, what did you do? She says, oh, he forced me. He told me, he threatened me that he would kill me if I did not set him free. That's not the way it was written. And that's not the way it happened. That's not the way the Tanakh tells us it transpired. But what is she going to say to her father? I'm now more loyal to David than to you? So we really feel the strong emotions and relationships here. And when David escapes to Nayot, Shaul tries to send messengers to capture David, but they all receive prophecy. And then even Shaul tries by himself to capture David, but he also receives prophecy and cannot finish the job of capturing David. Shaul is behaving in such unusual ways because he is consumed with destroying David. He is neglecting his job as king and is too focused on David. And meanwhile, David is gaining a reputation as the great hero of Bnei Israel. But now, David will be on the run. He will not be able to be that great hero because he has to hide from Shaul. And that will also affect David's development. But let's get to the next famous chapter, which describes the Rosh Chodesh meal, where it is finalized that David really cannot go home again. Thank you for studying together. L'ilui Nishmat Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.